Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Brewers fans, thank you for making the switch after the last pitch to this show. Welcome to the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Now, from the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios, here's the franchise, Tim Allen and Bill Baby Tausch Schmid.
It is a final from Miller Park, and the results are good. Another Brewers victory, especially over the Cardinals, makes it that much sweeter. They take the game and the series with an 8-4 victory. And welcome, everybody. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MilHockey. Tim Allen, Baby Tausch, Bill Schmid, here in the Hyundai of West Dallas postgame studios. 8-4 the final. Sort of thought it was a little bit of a runaway game. However, in the eighth inning, just things got a little dicey there. A tying run was actually in the on-deck circle for the St. Louis Cardinals. Uke was saying it during the broadcast today, Billy, that you can never have enough against the St. Louis Cardinals.
Never. Nope, not against this team. I mean, we how long do we have to watch and be tricked by the St. Louis Cardinals to finally learn our lessons? They're not going to go away. They never do.
They don't, and they didn't, but it was a another Brewers victory. And how about Brandon Woodruff?
Thank you.
Yeah.
Come on, Timmy. Come on, Timmy. Let it rain, baby. Let the Woodruff love come through.
5 1/3 and
two-thirds.
He was just dynamite. 5 2/3, yeah. He was dynamite tonight. And they needed that. They really needed that, especially since the roster move of earlier today. One of the young bucks in this starting rotation, Freddy Peralta, has a sore, I guess, collarbone or shoulder where it meets the sternum.
Yeah, that's a tough spot. You don't want that. That's a tough spot to be dinged up with, because a lot of what you're thinking of, Tim, when you're talking about where that collarbone is coming from, a lot of that is just because of torque that you're putting on your entire body to come through and rotate with the pitch. So, I mean, a lot of that, these guys aren't putting 90 miles an hour on their arm. You know this with Ty. It's a full body action, and a lot of it's with the legs, but a lot of it's with the torque that you can make through that spot. And if you're talking about where the collarbone comes into that shoulder joint, that's right in the middle of your shoulder and the lower parts of it. That's a lot of body. That's going to take a little bit.
And you wonder what they're going to do in the start where Freddie would have made his next start. And I believe that's Saturday, right?
Yes, Saturday.
Yeah, okay, so who's starting?
I know. I would think it would be Chase. I would hope it would be Chase.
But okay, so he would essentially pitch, make a start on short rest then?
Well,
because then he'd rest Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. Yeah. It'd be 3 days rest because he was out there today.
That's why I didn't think he would pitch today. And then when he came in, because I thought he would come in last pitched on Saturday, correct? So it would be a one-week give. And you could get him into the middle of the week. And then again, I mean, this could be his bullpen, if that's what you're going to call it. But you'd have him pitch in a regular bullpen in the middle of the week, and you could kind of get him somewhat on a schedule where you could realistically see 4 1/3, and he could give you what you need to bridge it to the bullpen, because, frankly, that's really all you've been getting anyway.
I'm leaning toward Chase Anderson as well, and they may just call it this quasi-sort of bullpen game on Saturday.
And it could be Wilkerson. I understand if it's Wilkerson. I mean, given the fact that he has been starting down in Triple A, correct?
Yes, yes.
So in that sense, I guess, I don't know why we're necessarily overthinking it, but I just don't see why they'd... I like Aaron Wilkerson. He's a nice guy, but I just don't know why he would make the start when you have Chase Anderson, who you pay to be a starting
pitcher. They have suddenly rattled off four of their last five against the Dodgers and Cardinals. And those of you keeping track at home, this 13-game run against the Dodgers, Cardinals, all of a sudden they're 4-1. 4-1 in the stretch of 13. Keeps stacking them in there. Continue to stack in there. I think essentially what this has done is protected you from an absolute nightmare through 13 games. It has. It really has. This win right here, when you go 4-1, I would doubt that they're going to lose 7 of their next 8 games, right?
So that would be hard for me to believe.
You would immediately go with a bare minimum of 5 or 6 in the 13, and they're just it's dynamite right now. The timing couldn't be any better, but I want to get your reaction. 414-799-1250. 30,000 plus at Miller Park tonight. Nice crowd for a Tuesday night. Way to go, Brewers fans. That's awesome. And the spark of the game. I'll get to that in our game recap here with Current Electric. First inning, nobody scores. And wouldn't you know it, base hits by Yelich and Goldschmidt. So it's the Yelich and Goldie show early on.
And how about Uke while he's sitting there talking about it? And he's joking around. What do these guys talk about while they're sitting over at first base? You know, I wonder if Goldschmidt just laughing, sitting over there, says, hey, man, he's going to throw him 2 fastballs and he's going to throw over here. Just let you know.
Yeah. I mean, these two guys, man, I don't know. That Goldschmidt didn't do much, and that was big today against Brandon Woodruff. Stays no score through the second and the top of the third. And here's the spark of the game from Current Electric. The frame that Woody threw in the top of the third, Billy, outstanding. 9 pitches, 2 strikeouts, and a pop-up.
Mm-hmm.
That was the spark. That was it right there because it really settled him in, and it did. He was confident. I think Chris Hook was talking about being a sniper out there, and he was dotting some inside parts of the plate tonight. That was outstanding. There's your spark of the game, Current Electric, top of the third inning for Brandon Woodruff. And then a high five on the board for the crew in the bottom half of that third inning. It was started with Lorenzo Cain.
You know, made the big splash, David. You did a year ago, January, with some acquisitions, including getting Lorenzo Cain and Christian Yelich. You knew they were good. You got them for a reason. This good?
Yeah, this has certainly exceeded our expectations, I think, on both of them. We knew we were getting really quality baseball players. We knew we were getting really well-rounded people, people around whom we felt like we could continue to build the organization, the club. And they've certainly delivered.
And Lorenzo Cain delivers one deep to left field, right on cue.
Yeah, President and GM David Stearns in the booth right there, and Matt LaPay, indeed, right on cue. I mean, they have delivered, and Lorenzo Cain delivered right there. Have you noticed this year David Stearns in the booth? And even a little bit of last year, they score runs when he's in that booth.
Yeah, keep him in there. I like it a lot. Let's roll. No doubt. Let's roll like that.
Lorenzo Cain gives the crew a 1-0 lead, but the rally continued a couple of batters later. This dude's scorching hot. We always talk about Yelly, but flying under the radar is Yasmani Grandal.
And Grandal, a drive deep to right field, and that is out of here. A 2-run shot for Yasmani Grandal.
And that made the score 3-0, and the celebration wasn't over. A few batters later, the bases were loaded for Brandon Woodruff.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, they were.
Counts was asked prior to the game if Woodruff was just going to go ahead and hit 1,000 this year, and Counsell said, yeah. Yeah, he is, and that's the way it's going to be. Well, it didn't happen his first time up, but his second time up with the bases juiced, this dude can stick.
Down the line, are you kidding me? Shaw is in, Aguilar is in, breaks on for RCA, Brandon Woodruff, a 2-run double.
There's your are you kidding me moment of the game right there. Woody with a 2-run double to give the crew a 5-0 lead, and it really stayed that way for a while. And you knew Christian Yelich, who had a base hit in the ball game already and wasn't really feeling the swing. You know, he was talking about that yesterday. I really didn't put everything together. But Yelly in the bottom of the fifth inning, there's nowhere really – the Cardinals could put him a couple of runners on. Are you going to pitch around him? Probably not. Let's go to him, and then Yelly makes him pay.
And a drive to right field. Yelich again.
8-0 to the sixth inning, and the runaway was on, or so you thought. Cardinals do get back on the board in the top of the sixth off Woody, a two-run shot from Ozuna. Woodruff gets a couple of outs, but leaves with a couple of base runners on, 5 2/3, a couple of run ball. Chase Anderson comes in. Chase had a great rhythm tonight, an inning and a third.
Chase had it going on.
He did. He was grip and rip, and I like that pacing. I just wonder if potentially they had said, you know, go out and look at this as a bullpen and get ready to start on Saturday, as we've discussed. But Chase Anderson, a nice performance tonight. Scoreless in his relief. Alex Wilson in all sorts of trouble in the eighth inning. The tying run, eventual tying run, ended up in the on-deck circle, and it didn't make me feel comfortable, but Wilson wiggles his way off the hook here, giving up a couple of runs to make the score 8-4, and then it was Alex Claudio, who needed a scoreless inning, folks. He did. He had to have that, and there's your final 8-4 as the Brewers run their mark now to 12-6. And they're on a little bit of a roll again, winning four of their last five against the Dodgers and Cardinals. Loving it. 414-799-1250. Brandon Woodruff with the two-run double. That's the Are You Kidding Me moment of the game, brought to you by Gene Wagner Plumbing, a company you can trust. Check them out at GeneWagnerPlumbing.com. Who would you start on Saturday? I mean, think about it. You know, sort of the suspects here, the possibilities here. Chase Anderson is one. Adrian Houser, Aaron Wilkerson is one. I mean, I guess you could make the argument for Junior Guerra, but he's doing so well in the pen that I don't know if I'd mess with that, because they looks like they need the bullpen to solidify a little bit, and he's a big part of the solidification. But who would you start? Think about that during the break. Want to get your thoughts on that? 799-1250. Also, the pitching staff, despite a 12-6 mark, I think you'll be stunned by some of the numbers we'll have for you coming up. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Tim and Taos here in the Hyundai of West Allis postgame studios after Brewers 8-4 win.
Was it a moonshot or a big line drive? Let's get today's Wrench and Go drive of the game. Need auto parts? Wrench and Go is a self-service yard. Bring your own tools and access the lowest priced auto parts around. This is the Bayview Shade and Blind Baseball Postgame Show, presented by the Milwaukee Admirals on 105.7 FM, The Fan.
Hey, Brewers win again. Their record now 12-6 early on in the 2019 championship season. 12-6 with some numbers that are not 12-6 like. So we'll get to those in just a little bit. Loving the fact that they're winning. Wrench and Go drive of the game. Little torn on this one. Tough to avoid a dude that has hit, I think, 32,000 homers against the Cardinals this year. Tough to pass that up as the drive of the game. However, it's also tough to pass up what Brandon Woodruff is doing with a bat in his hand.
I mean, the guy's hitting .714. I don't know if we can pass that up.
I don't think we can. So the third inning, three runs already in. A home run, a solo shot from Lorenzo Cain, a two-run shot from Grandal. Bases juiced. Wrench and go, drive of the game. It's Woody with a bat in his hand.
Are you kidding me? Shaw is in. Aguilar is in. Breaks on for RCA. Brandon Woodruff, a two-run double.
Yeah, the fun continues at Miller Park for this crew in 2019. 799-1250, your reaction on the ball game. Before we get to some pitching stuff, Christian Yelich. I hear it all over the airwaves. I hear it on the TV broadcast. I hear it all over our station. I hear it just all over the game call the whole nine yards. I think we are all running out of ways to describe Christian Yelich. Would you agree with that?
No doubt. Because you want to continue talking about him, Tim. Like, you want to, as I'm just saying, like, in when we talk about it on the big show, we're like, okay, Yelich just hit three homers last night. We have to figure out something to talk about. Okay, Christian Yelich is amazing.
Yeah.
Like, that's where it comes to, and then we sit around, we look at each other, and then we're like, okay, so what else, what can we actually talk about? There's nothing else that you can talk about with this guy, because he just does everything right. Last night, the story is the three home runs and the seven RBIs, not the two sliding catches that he had in the middle of the game that were absolute game changers.
We barely mentioned it.
It's just not part of the situation. Like, there's only so much that you can really talk about when all you know is that he's going to perform and he's going to ball out.
He may be, guys, and I'm saying for long timers, he may be the best all-around player to ever wear a Brewers uniform. All-around baseball player, five tool.
And
he's all the way back. Name them all. You know, I mean, you want to name you out? Okay, fair enough. Molitor, sure, fine. Brawny, check all the boxes, sure. This dude has all of them. He's got them all.
I don't know if you can really.
We're gonna wait.
Like, I don't know if you can.
We're gonna wait for the time to go by.
And you know this better than I do, Tim, because obviously Yout was your guy. Yout was your generation's dude. But to me, I don't know. I don't know if Braun will hang in that category simply because of his defense. Like, Christian Yelich can significantly change the game with his defense. I guess that his arm's not as strong as some people might like out in right field. The dude balls out, and he's got a gold glove for a reason. He can win another one. He can win a couple, I think. And I don't know if I could ever see Braun at that level. I don't know where Molitor was defensively. I know he was obviously a Hall of Fame hitter and a Hall of Fame player. But Yout, in the same situation, he changed the game defensively as well.
He did, and he was very good with the glove. Obviously had the arm to make the transition from the infield to the outfield. Mm-hmm. A couple of MVPs. But with regards to Ryan Braun, people forget, didn't he go through a season with one error? Might have been two.
Yeah.
I think he may have gone through a season with, I don't know how they tally the gold glove points, if you will. But I was a little peeved that he didn't win a gold glove that year. I think it was no more than two. It might have been just one error for the entire season. But Christian Yelich, we may be witnessing, as we speak, the best all-around player in Brewers history. We might. Guys, we might. That's the reality of the situation. We need to see the time go by. I get that. I understand that. But this window that he's – and he's not going anywhere. He's not going anywhere.
Brawny had one error in 2011. He had two errors in both 2013 and 2014. The 2013 season, obviously the shortened season with the suspension. And then he goes for two, three, and two. The guy does not make many mistakes in the outfield, that's for sure.
No, and I will say, Billy, that he does play safe a lot. I do have to say that,
right.
Even at that time, I said, yeah, you know, he does. He doesn't take too many chances. And sometimes that's what you want out of a particular defensive player. But let's see how much time is going to go by. The dude is 27 years old, talking about Yelly. He's under contract. I think this team is torn a little bit. Just big picture, just saying in the big picture, I think they're torn on a particular year starting now to either bolster what they have to go for it or to keep that money tucked away in a little kitty because you're going to pay this guy. That's the balancing act that they're doing right now, Billy.
For sure.
In my opinion,
yep.
That's what they're doing.
And two, I think, and this is all still, and I know I get macro whenever I talk about this, but it's going to come down to, what is that player association? What is that agent that Christian Yelich is going to be getting the advice from think when they know what's coming in a couple of years, that it might not be the worst decision if you're Christian Yelich? Man, lock in some huge guaranteed money, stay with the Brewers, and you can sign the extension, give him these years, and, you know, hey, man, we'll throw you $20 million up front or whatever on a signing. We can get you some money. I mean, if you need any money, don't worry about it. He can go talk to Mark, and Mark can write him a check. I mean, it's not that big of a deal. I mean, what's a couple million amongst friends?
We'll float you.
Right.
Right.
I can wire you some. We can Wells Fargo you something if you really need the money, Christian. But you figure it out that he doesn't wear another uniform because you fleece the Marlins for him. Now he sticks with you. Now we won. Now we get him for life.
Could you see Mark Adonasio throwing, I don't know, $8.5 million Venmo through Venmo?
Yeah, man, just Venmo a couple bucks. I mean, like, we were just talking about a story earlier tonight or earlier today, telling the story about on Hard Knocks when Baker Mayfield signs his contract. John Dorsey looks at him and goes, "Hey, man, so you sign this paper right here. There's going to be $8.2 million in your bank account on Thursday, direct deposit." We could figure that out. We could line something up.
Yeah.
If we want to get Christian Yelich, we can keep him at the salary he's at, backload a little bit, but we can taste you a little something up front, buddy.
27 years old and doing what he's doing, man. It is amazing, and we are witnessing something really, really cool. We just are. And the more every day goes by, the more it should be solidified that we think this way. It's okay. It doesn't appear in any way, shape, or form, I don't think, to anybody in or out of the industry that this is a flash in the pan. It just doesn't appear that way to anybody. I don't know where that basis comes from. I'm not sure. I've heard maybe a couple of people say, he's on a run. But, man, it's amazing. 799-1250, getting your reaction here. Brewers and Christian Yelich take the series with this victory. They go after a sweep. Want to get your reaction, Christian Yelich and pitching. Who's starting on Saturday? The Brewers need a starting pitcher. They have placed Freddie Peralta earlier today onto the injured list. They recalled Aaron Wilkerson, activated Jeremy Jeffress. He was available to pitch in tonight's game. And Jake Petrichka sent to single-A ball, I think just to keep him in the area. Bayview Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Tim Allen, baby Tausch, Bill Schmidt, and a Brewers 8-4 win.
When you're hot, you're hot. When you're not, you're not. So when it comes to the crew, who's hot and who's not?
Well, the Brewers are hot. They've won four of their last five games. We'll get to some numbers here in just a second. They win tonight 8-4, 799-1250. That's 414-799-1250. Tim and Tausch in a Brewers victory over the Cardinals. That's always a sweet thing. Mike's been holding on for a while. Mike, you're on the fan. What's on your mind?
I'll hold for an hour to talk to you guys. I just have two takes. I'm going to go console first. My second favorite Brewers console, besides Molitor. Going with, was it Alex Wilson in the eighth?
It was.
Now, I thought he was going to come out and pull him. And then he went Claudio instead of Hader. You're kind of showing these guys you have faith in them, you know, confidence. And then I'm going to go Yelich. I'd like to see him hit four home runs in a game, but I think after three, they'll just start walking him. And my question is, do you think he could beat the Freeze? You know, the Freeze from Kansas City?
He's talking about the guy in Atlanta.
The kid in the green suit.
Yeah, the guy that dresses in the blue suit and runs around now.
Kansas City.
Yep. No, yeah, you're good. Yep.
Can he beat him from a standing start? Because Yelich can motor. And I'll hang up and listen.
Yeah, all right, but Mike, no, he's got some wheels for sure. He does, and he's a smart baseball player and a smart base runner as well. I think that we haven't seen a lot of that running around out there. But
I also think a lot of it comes down to that he knows, like you said, he's a very smart base runner. He's a very tactical base runner. Like, he can cut the base down and cut the path real well. But he's just got those long legs, man. Anybody can fly with those things. He gallops like an elk. Are you kidding me? This guy must have been just... Like, if he wasn't playing baseball, he was probably on the cross-country team is what I thought.
and that is base running prowess when you're flying around second base on a ball into the gap. That does remind me a little bit about with Robin Yount, because that's the type of base runner Robin was too, where it's just you hit the corner of the bag just right, and once you get the longer legs loping a little bit, it's very similar in that regard. 799-1250, Bill in Iron River, you're next on the Fan. What's happening, Bill?
Hey, Tim and Tausch. I would actually compare Yelich. He keeps this up to Henry Aaron, to be honest with you. Ironically, he also plays right field. But the reason I called was because one of the things I've noticed here is there are some teams in the major leagues that when you have a getaway day, like tomorrow the Brewers are playing an afternoon game and St. Louis gets to leave probably around 5:30, 6 o'clock. But when the Brewers play a getaway game in St. Louis, it's always at night. How does that happen?
That's up to team to schedule that.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah, Bill.
It does seem like an advantage to the Cardinals. You know, I mean.
Oh, yeah. Bill, you're preaching now. Oh, yeah. You're preaching to the choir over here with Tim Allen.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, it seems to me, just for competitive balance, it should be the same for everybody. But
the league is starting to mandate some control over that, and I like the lean on that they're doing, and it's based on the number of hours in terms of a flight. I think that's what they're basing this off of. So at least they're starting to meddle a little bit. Wouldn't you though?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you schedule all the getaway days in division as night games?
Well, but the Brewers don't do it.
No, they don't. Not very often. No, not very often.
Chicago,
Cubs and Cardinals definitely.
St. Louis does.
Yeah, they're definitely more tactical. Yeah, gotcha, so, gotcha. All right, Bill, thanks.
They're beating their brains out. Thanks
great
for taking
point.
My call.
Yep, great point.
Yeah, you're. I'm telling him, he's preaching to the choir over here. Tim Allen, I've heard you talk about that. I've heard you gripe about that. I think every single time since I started working on this show, when the Brewers went to St. Louis, figures, yeah. Cardinals aren't going to – they would schedule this thing at 9 o'clock at night if they could while you're on getaway day.
I don't blame them. I really don't blame them, and it's about time the league stepped in to start grabbing some control over that. I mean, it's sort of a I don't know if it's an unwritten gentleman's agreement amongst the organizations, but if there is some sort of advantage, you got to take it. Now, speaking of which, I don't know what was going on between Shilt and Council today.
Right. We got to hear that when Counts talks about it, because Craig was looking at him in the dugout or on the field, and he's looking at him pointing like, dude, are you serious? You're really going to do this? And Shilt's just chilling over there, hanging out with his guy, having his piece of paper right up to his face, talking about something. Didn't want anybody else to know what he was talking about. And Counts was hot.
There was something bothering him. I wonder what that was. And that was, ironically, right in the middle of this Cardinal uprising in the eighth inning. Who's hot, who's not? Brought to you by Bayview Shade and Blind, providing the highest quality window fashion since 1926. Find out more at BayviewShade.com. Check these numbers out heading into today's game for Brewers pitchers with a bat in their hand, hitting .346. And an on-base percentage of .412. Those are the pitchers. How many years did you talk about me griping over the years, Billy? How many years did our listeners hear me talk about you just gave up a two-run double to the pitcher?
Mm-hmm.
All the time. Adam Wainwright just took you deep? Really? The pitcher got a hit tonight for St. Louis. Did you happen to see that? First major league hit for this Halsey.
Yeah, how nice was that? Really, really awesome. It was really, really jacked up for him.
Little chopper up the middle, but the Brewers pitchers have been doing an outstanding job with the bat. Freddie Peralta yesterday had an RBI base hit. Woody today, two-run double. Chacin had a home run earlier this year. It's just been it's been dynamite. So there's who's hot, who's not. Who's not, I guess we'll get to that after the break. How about that? Because some of these ERAs are
Yeah, they're not
concerning.
Good.
But yeah.
Can I give a couple of fun ones just as a little taster, just so people can get a feel for what the segment's all about? So you read off people that are hot. People that are not, I'm going to give you two. One in baseball and one in another sport. Chris Sale, his record now, Tim, 0-4. His quote, "I just flat out stink." And want to talk about who's not hot. The Tampa Bay Lightning would be not hot as they tie an NHL record for wins in 2019 and then get swept out of the first round of the NHL playoffs. Now, that is not hot, my friend.
Not at all. I mean, you talk about stepping up in the postseason.
You would be so pissed. Man. If the Brewers won like 115 games and got swept.
That would be like, no, the Seattle Mariners, that happened to them.
Nick Bodie and I were talking about it earlier tonight. We were trying to figure out exactly what year it was. I wouldn't even want to be around you, but I would need to be. Somebody would need to be with you at all times for like 3 or 4 weeks.
What happened to the Lightning would be the equivalent of the Milwaukee Bucks currently getting swept by the Pistons in this playoff series. That's what happened to them down there. That is amazing. That's very rare. Like I said, Seattle Mariners had that issue. They won a million games 1 year and got swept in the playoffs. It's tough, man. Hey, it's the one time where you do have to point across the diamond or across the rink or across the court, across the field, and say those guys are pros too, man. They can
step up and win. And a lot of it, Timmy, is you look over there, you tip your hat, and you know that they perform better than you do. Like with the Cubs last year, all you hear is, "Well, it was such a disappointing way for it to end." But at the end of the day, those guys looked over and said, "Okay, yeah, we sucked for 4 days," and that's just how it goes. That's how sports is. It's so finite and so it the season ends so quickly for every team except for the one that it gets to go out until spring training the next year.
Yeah, one team gets to win their last game. You know, one team in the postseason wins their final game. It's crazy. 799-1250, Brewers win tonight. 8-4, the final. They take game two of this three-game set. After taking 2 of 3 in L.A. against the Dodgers, they come home facing a tough Cardinal team for a three-game set. They've taken the first 2, 4 of 5. In this 13-game just gauntlet that they've got to run through, Dodgers and Cardinals for 13 consecutive games, pretty good start, I would say, at 4-1. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Tim and Taos and the Brewers win.
So, what's the skipper got to say about this game? Let's find out. Here's the scoop from the skipper on the only station Brewers fans need. Before and after the game. 105.7 FM, The Fan.
We will get to counsel here in just a couple of minutes as the Brewers get an 8-4 victory. Just sort of wanting to get his thoughts on a couple of things, obviously. Love hearing from Craig Counsell after each and every game. And I remember that's one of the things that I really enjoyed prior, Billy, to working in this sports talk circus that we're in. That I always loved hearing from the managers. I mean, even back to the day of Bamberger and some of these guys of Phil Garner. And he didn't have so many platforms to hear the manager back then. I mean, you may have heard him once a week, if that.
Well, and too, I even think about when I was growing up, and obviously sports radio had expanded quite a bit. But, like, I would always geek out about listening to Mike McCarthy, or at that point it was also Mike Sherman or whatever, in their post-game press conference, because like that, I loved hearing the guys ask the questions. And I was like, man, that'd be cool if I got to ask the coach a question after the game. Like all these guys do? That's awesome.
Sunday, speaking of which, Sunday, I have to mention this, Fox Sports Wisconsin, with regards to the Milwaukee Bucks post-game. I don't know what they call it on Fox Sports. Is it Bucks post game or Bucks live post? I don't know what it is. They did an amazing job with all the audio they had after that game.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
no
know
doubt.
If you caught that, Billy.
It was awesome. Tons of it. Just tons of it.
Yeah, it was like an hour's worth of that stuff. It was super, super cool. All right, so we have a Brewers 8-4 victory. And you have a little bump in the road there with Alex Wilson again out of that pen. Jeremy Jeffress is activated here today. I'm just sort of curious why, you know, you have to ease him in. I think Craig Counsell all but said that earlier today, that, you know, it's we're going to ease him in, basically, is what he said. And I don't mind that. It's a good plan. I mean, I wouldn't put him into a one-run game with one out in the eighth inning.
No, that would be a bad idea. No, let's not do that.
Okay, so why wasn't he in tonight? I don't know.
Well, yeah, no, I can't answer that for you.
8-2 game. That would have been a good time to get your feet wet. I'm not sure about you, but that's I would have used him tonight.
Yeah, I agree. I thought it was worked out perfect for him to get back into a game, especially when, because I don't really want to put Jeremy Jeffress in the game in like the fifth inning either, because I don't think that sets the precedent right away of the return of what JJ is. JJ is a late inning reliever, but like you said, it's an 8-2 ball game, perfect opportunity. Frankly, even in an 8-4 game in the ninth inning, I thought that was a good spot to get him in, because
possibility.
It also then breeds the opportunity that it's another guy for teams to think about that they could throw in the ninth inning in a situation that was enough of a safe situation for you to put Josh Hader in last night.
And I agree with you. To use him in the fifth inning right now, I think other teams would say, hey, man, let's get through Jeffress, and then we can pick on Claudio, and we can pick on Wilson, and we can pick on Barnes. So I fully agree with you on that. I don't know when they're going to use him. If it's a tight ball game tomorrow, I doubt they will, based on the comments earlier today. I mean, maybe Jeremy Jeffress is going to talk Counsell. Hey, man, I'm ready to go. Whatever could happen tomorrow. We don't really know, but we'd sort of lean toward listening to Counsell and keeping him at his word as, you know, get your feet wet first. Because they need him.
Big time.
Here's why they need him. Let me just run through some ERAs heading into today's game. And for those that want to think that it's an indefinite time period for young players to perform and you need to give them time because the market, a market this size, you need to show patience with young players. No, man, look, are you built to win this year or not? We've moved some prospects here in Milwaukee to get certain guys to win now. That's why we did it. And now we influx some more young dudes in, and I don't necessarily have a problem with that. Unless a duration of time goes by that they don't perform. Give them the chance, give them the opportunity, and be fair about it. That's the thing. Give them a fair amount of time. Is 3 starts enough for a Corbin Burns, Freddie Peralta to make those changes? I don't think so. I don't think that's fair at all to give him 3 starts and then pull the plug on him. So it's going to be more than that. Then I hear the argument, well, you do have help on the way, and you don't need to freak out. You don't need another pitcher. You just need to pitch these guys until Jimmy Nelson gets back. They may not make it to Jimmy Nelson getting back. They may not perform good enough to bridge that gap to Jimmy Nelson. Have we thought of this?
Oh, man, that is tough. That is really, really tough for me to believe that he can't. And it's just, the season is so long, and maybe it's just because your offense is so good right now and it's keeping you afloat, but I got to believe that you got to give them a fair enough opportunity to the point of where if May 1st is when Jimmy Nelson can come back, then I believe that these guys deserve the chance to get at least to then. But
agreed.
Depending on what the reports are, you're right. If Jimmy Nelson isn't going to be back by June 15th, and I'm not reporting that, I'm just saying just completely speculating, because last year we kind of thought that he was going to be back in July. Then we kind of thought he was going to be back in August, September. Oh, wait, now he's going to be able to get into a regular offseason. And he's still not ready to go in games when you start out games in spring training. So there's a lot to be still figured out about the Jimmy Nelson situation. But for these guys right now, man, the time is now. You got to be able to seize the moment, because you don't know when you get another opportunity like this. Just because you were the minor league pitcher of the year in, you know, 2017 or whatever it is, there were a lot of minor league pitchers of the year. There's only a few guys that have won Cy Young Awards.
Indeed. And it's a timing thing here, but it's also being fair to these young dudes. And I understand all that. But there's only so far you can go with a 7-plus earned run average. And I'm all right with a guy having a bumpy road as a young player in this organization. I'm all right with a tentative short-term 7-plus ERA if he's eaten up some innings. But you have a double whammy going here on a couple of these dudes. Number one, they're not eating up innings. And number two, they're giving up a ton of runs. At some point, you will have to pull the plug. We had a caller last night that said, at some point, it will burn them. Don't play with fire, man. It's going to burn you at any time.
At any time.
Check out these numbers. Earned run averages coming into this game tonight. Josh Hader, 0.9. Outstanding. Zach Davies through three starts, 2-0, 153. Outstanding. Junior Guerra in his appearances out of the pen. Been a chameleon out there. 154. Like it. Here's where it gets interesting. Matt Albers and Jacob Barnes, 4.05. Okay. Limited innings, guys. You throw another scoreless inning and you're within reason at like a 3.6. Yeah, you can shut. You can
absolutely
shave off.
Yep, you're
you can
close
shave
enough
off a half run. So I'm all right with these guys, Jacob Barnes and Matt Albers. Chase Anderson coming into today. Again, he had an inning and a third scoreless today, 5.19. Brandon Woodruff coming into today, 6.00. Alex Claudio, 6.14. Alex, a big benefit is not walking people. Just saying, Alex.
Yeah, that helps. That helps.
Yoli Chacin, 6.52. Alex Wilson, 7.04, and gave up two earnings in one inning of work today. Freddie Peralta, 7.13. Jake Pietrzyka, now in the minors, 9.00. Corbin Burns, 10.05, and a boatload of homers. Taylor Williams down in the minors, 10.38. There's your ERAs, guys, and you're 12-6. I love that fact. That means when these guys do get a little bit better, because they will, right? You'd assume they will. These numbers are just, they're somewhat disturbing. Once they do come back, then you're in such good shape. Can you afford the luxury to get there? To bridge the gap to Jimmy Nelson, bridge the gap to a Chase Anderson to get into the rotation, bridge the gap to possibly popping Zach Brown with a start, popping Adrian Hauser with a start, maybe Junior. There's all Aaron Wilkerson. Can you afford the luxury of time to get there with these sort of inflated numbers? These numbers got to get better, guys. It doesn't matter. Winning doesn't mean it's all fluff and positive across the board. They know there's challenges here, and they knew that there were challenges coming into this season. They didn't know what they were going to be, and I love that line. I love the philosophy. We know there's going to be challenges here. We just don't know what they are yet. Love it, love it, love it. Well, there's your challenge. There's your challenges. There's your challenges as a team, and there's your challenges in terms of individuals. High earned run averages. It's going to come back to get you, guys. It is, and they know it. I know they know it. So they made their first move. Freddie Peralta, oh, yeah, shoulder. Yeah, may take a couple of starts off. Good. Let's reset with Freddie. Let's fix it. Because that dude can be outstanding. 799-1250. Let's go to Nick. Nick, you're on the fan. What's happening?
Hey, guys. I called in last week, first-time caller. Still here. I was going to get in and out quick on a high note about Christian Yelich, but this listening to you guys talk about this, I got a quick question if you don't mind.
Sure.
Do you think Corbin Burns might be better suited at this point back in that bullpen relief situation? I feel like two or three times through the lineup and he's just a bit too predictable. Do you think he'd be more effective in shorter roles?
Sure looked like it last year, didn't it?
He was dynamite in that role, and it's tough too, guys, because he is able to then condense his pitch selection. Sometimes I think, you know, the guy that is able to do so many different things, sometimes it takes you away from the things that you're really, really good at. When you got five pitches, sometimes it makes you not throw the ones that you do exceptionally well.
Yeah, I just, you know, I respect your guys' knowledge more than mine, and that's why I wanted to ask. And I feel the same way. I think he'd be better suited maybe, at least for the short term, this season, maybe into next, back in that bullpen relief to build his confidence and his experience at this level, because he does have great stuff when he's locked in. My quick just kind of, you know, takeaway this season starting out great. I know you guys love this team. I fell in love with my wife in 2008 before we had even had a date, because she knew the Brewers batting lineup 1-8. We were just hanging out watching a game with friends, and she knew the lineup, and I fell in love right there, and we're married right now. And
what is, well, all right, more importantly, what does she think of Corbin Burnes?
She likes Corbin Burnes, but my story's focused on Yelich. It's early in the week. I try to catch the game, but I'm really usually locked in on the weekends. I'm upstairs folding laundry. She's downstairs watching the game, and she yells to me,
Nick, you shouldn't have announced that on the radio.
That's fine.
Should not have admitted that on the radio.
I was listening to it on the radio. She yells, Nick, Yelich is up. That's the kind of appeal that this guy has. Is we're not even at the game. It's not a you're not going to the bathroom, you're not grabbing a beer at the ballpark. It's a you're upstairs folding laundry on a Tuesday night, and your wife is yelling down to you that Christian Yelich is at the plate. It's so fun to have a player this special and this locked in. I rushed downstairs. He hit a home run. I love my wife. I love my life. I love this team. You guys have a good night. Keep up the great work. I appreciate the show.
Thank you,
appreciate
Nick.
Appreciate it,
Nick. We'll let you get away with a warning on your man card.
Yeah, man, come on, dude. Oh, I mean, like, I get it. That was really nice of him. And he probably had some towels to fold, Timmy. Sometimes he got some socks to fold. Every once in a while I say that when somebody's like, hey, you want to hang out? You want to go do something this weekend? You know, man, I really got some socks that I got to fold. Sorry, I don't think I can make it.
It may end up that way that Corbin Burnes moves to the bullpen. I doubt it. I seriously doubt it. They have a lot riding with Corbin Burnes, and I think you would probably see a trip to the minor leagues before you would see a trip to the bullpen.
I would agree with that. I think that for all of these guys. And the best part is with the Freddie Peralta, I shouldn't say best, I guess positive in the situation, is that he can go and work out some things that he was struggling with in the minor leagues on his way back up to the big leagues off the IL.
Yeah, and this is one of those breaks that we knew these guys were going to have. We knew that Corbin Burnes is not going to make 30 starts this year. We know that Brandon Woodruff will not start 28 times this year. We know that Freddie Peralta, making 13 or 14 starts last year, was not going to make that jump to 30 starts this year. All of them were going to take some time. We've seen some mystery injuries over the years, and I'm not calling anyone a liar. I'm just bringing up Wei-Chung Wong. I'm bringing up Jeff Supon every late June and early July. I'm bringing up a Dave Bush or a Randy Wolf or some of these veterans that do need a break. Even the veterans do. These young kids cannot make an innings jump like you would expect.
Yeah, you just can't do it. An arm can't do it. Not at this level.
The depth is going to be tested in that rotation this year. It will be tested, and it's going to be fascinating and a hell of a lot of fun to take that test as a fan to see how it's graded. Because get ready and buckle in. It may be Hauser. It may be Chase Anderson, Zach Brown. Hell, it may be someone out of the organization that has yet to be named yet. It can be fun to watch, for sure. All right, let's hear from Craig Counsell. His team gets another victory in division against the Central, against the Cardinals. They've only lost one game head-to-head in the six against the Cardinals. Yelly does it again. Woody, a great start tonight. Here's Counts.
No. I mean, I think it's, you know, we got runners on base. You know, if we keep putting runners on base, it's really tough to do that. So it's, you know, as long as we keep putting runners on base, we're putting, You know, and obviously we're putting, you know, have multiple runners on base. I think it's it makes it really tough to decide what to do.
Kind of get somebody tonight as well.
Yeah, no, I mean he's been really consistent, and you know, overall his numbers are really right there with him. You know, not the RBIs and not the three-run homer binge that Yelly seems to be on, but it's. He's been really, really good offensively. Done a really nice job, very consistent, and you know, adding power also at that position. So he's been really important for us.
Pretty well-rounded night tonight for Woody.
Yeah, I thought Woody pitched very well. I mean, I thought you know, I was really proud of that. The fourth inning, really, when he went out there and put up a zero after, you know, he ran the bases and had the big double. And then I thought that was the real inning for him, that just go out there and put up a zero. And that, you know, I think it just kind of flattens the game out for them as much as anything. So that's kind of where he got stuck against Chicago in that game after a big inning that we had and that he was involved in hitting wise. So, but I thought his stuff was really good tonight. Slider was good to righties, change was good to lefties. His fastball was obviously located very well often. So nice night.
Hit again, you were talking about to get sustained innings, the pitcher's often involved, and that's kind of exactly
what yeah, in this case it kind of capped it off, but it was I mean, it was a good at bat. I mean, he, you know, they fell behind 2-0, and we had you know, we had Flaherty on the ropes a little bit at that point, and it was the ninth hitter of the inning. And then he just had a good at bat. You know, he made we gave him a strike 2-1. He threw a good pitch 2-1 to even it up. And then I think he hit a slider and hit it well.
How tough was that double play?
Yeah, that was beautiful. It's fun to see. It's great for Moose to be involved in one of those with Orlando too. Feel like a real middle infielder. That he's on the highlight reel now for middle infield double play. So that was a beauty.
But what's the tougher part of that? I mean, his flip or then Orlando's flip?
Well, as much as I love Moose's play, Orlando's footwork was just pretty. You know, the footwork to catch it, know the runner. He didn't rush after he caught it. You know, but he did it. The footwork was beautiful to get out of the way and just make a nice throw. So, I thought just even handling the flip is, you know, it was kind of an awkward flip because of where Moose was. It was a really nice play, and it was a nice little spot to get. You know, to make an inning easy for Woody. It could have been first and second, nobody out, and then we got nobody on and two outs.
Greg, what was the issue something wrong with the Cardinals batting order or something?
It ended up being just and the umpire made a mistake, and so he made a mistake and we corrected it. Yeah. Yeah, it's not a big deal.
Cardinals have given you guys, you know, pretty hard time over the years. It's been interesting how this has flipped here, you know, dating back to last season, and now it's got to feel good to kind of turn the page a little bit and get on the other
side. No, I mean, I don't think the history of this thing is relevant at this point. I mean, this is about this year, and you know, we got 19 or 18 against them, and you know, we've got plenty of games left of them. We try to beat them as much as we can. It makes it harder on them. And obviously we got a lot of games against them in April, and just try to keep winning games. You know, we know they're a team that's going to be there in the end. So these wins are important.
Pitching is nearly everything in baseball, but it doesn't always go as planned. Let's see who got lit up tonight. Sponsored by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day. Online at Heiser.com.
Yeah, you got to like Craig Counsell a little bit more just about every time you hear from him. A couple of things in there. One was how he handled the umpire and the lineup card thing. Schilt was asking questions. Counsell didn't look very pleased about something.
Oh, he was hot.
The umpire is this, that, and the other thing. Hey, the umpire made a mistake. We pointed that out. And then, you know, you wanted the follow-up. And he just sort of squashed it immediately. It's not a big deal, man. Don't make a big deal out of it. I love that about Counts.
Right, yeah, just forget about it. It's not a big deal. Just stop.
We're not even going to get into the details. It's just not even worth it. It's not a big deal. So he pushed that aside. The other thing I like in tonight's presser was
The history between the Cardinals and the Brewers is not relevant to this year. It sure isn't. Game more proof. It's today's game he wants to win, man.
Yeah, he could care less about what happened in 82, 92, 2002.
2011 does not matter. No, the only time 2011 matters with the Cardinals and Brewers is if they face David Fries again in the NLCS. Then it's relevant. But outside of that, man, that's good stuff from Craig Counsell. Who got lit up? I would say the opponent starter Flaherty, the Cardinals starter, 2.93 comes in with some good numbers. They sort of lit him up tonight.
Yeah, he leaves with a 5-flat ERA after the appearance tonight. 2 2/3, 9 hits, 5 runs, all of those earned, a walk and 4 Ks for Jack Flaherty. And also, I mean, Timmy, coming into tonight's game, previously against the Milwaukee Brewers, he had gotten dinged up in his last start against them as well. And in 4 1/3, 7 hits, 4 runs, they tag him for an extra in that 5-run third tonight.
And I would say that it pains me, but Alex Wilson got lit up a little bit in that eighth inning. Three
yeah, that's
hits,
your
a
boy.
Walk and a couple of runs.
Yeah, that's your boy.
ERA coming in was over 7. That's going to hike up a little bit. They got to settle him down, man. Him and Alex Claudio, the two Alexes, man, they need to settle things down. Claudio did pitch a scoreless rack tonight, so we can't get on him for today's game. Who got lit up? Brought to you by Heiser Automotive. Today's your day, online at Heiser.com. We'll hear from Christian Yelich coming up. Baby Shade and Blind postgame show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. Tim and Tausch, 8-4. Brewers win.
Which player is ready for the bigs? What will the next series bring for the crew? Time for some forward thinking. Sponsored by Forward Financial Partners. Moving forward together. Find your way forward at FFPWI.com.
8-4 final. Brewers take game 2 of this 3-game set over the St. Louis Cardinals. They win 3 of 4 to open up the 2019 championship season over St. Louis. And now just a few weeks later, they win the first 2 of this 3-game set. They got them again Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday of next week in St. Louis. So seeing a lot of the Cardinals, kind of a quirk in the schedule here. A little forward thinking with our friends at Forward Financial Partners. Check them out at FFPWI.com. Tomorrow afternoon, postgame meets the big show. Maybe the most different postgame meets the big show in history.
Yeah, it's going to be different. It's going to be interesting. Just you're going to have to stay tuned and find out. It's going to be something else.
Yeah,
something else, that's for sure.
By far the most different combo platter that we've provided.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that's for sure. That's for sure.
Brewers have a 12:40 start time tomorrow, but we'll be talking Brewers baseball, hopefully celebrating a sweep tomorrow and a Corbin Burnes performance that is his best start of his career. How about we go for that? We would take that, keep the Brewers in the ball game, let their offense do what they have been doing, and they've been doing a great job. Let's not forget Yasmani Grandal here. Guys, he was absolutely on fire still, flying under the radar of Christian Yelich. They've got the Moose. There's another guy. It's good to see Travis Shaw with another base hit. He's got 3 hits in the past couple of games. That's cool. And Brandon Woodruff continues to rake with the bat, but on the mound, he did a nice job today, man. It was 5 2/3, a 2-run ball. We'll take that out of Brandon Woodruff and these younger pitchers in the rotation. Here's Brandon Woodruff after the game.
Slide right in. How sharp was the fastball command for you tonight?
Huge. I think anything, you know, for every pitcher, fastball command's huge. That's step one. For me, it's really big. Because I know I've got a good fastball, and if I can put it, you know, in some good spots, it just helps out everything else with the off speed and everything. So, you know, early on, fastball command was you know, pretty good for me. I think the big pitch for me tonight was the changeup. I was really able to keep it down, which was big. Got a few swing and misses and some weak contact with it, and Yeah, that was a big pitch for me, but it all started with the fastball command.
Yep. Craig just said he was most happy with how you responded in that fourth inning mm-hmm. after, you know, being on the bases,
yeah.
double. I mean, how tough was that?
I think I learned a little bit from the Chicago game, you know, where I was running the bases a lot there early on, and I don't think I was taking enough time in between, you know, coming off the field and getting back out there, and was kind of getting worn down a little bit. So kind of learned from that and was able to take a little bit more time and catch my breath a little more, and I think that helped out, you know, in this game, kind of saved my legs a little bit. Exactly right. That means you're doing something right. So anytime you get to run the bases, and that means something good's happening. So, you know, hopefully we get to do it a lot more and get to do that a lot. So,
what do you think as a pitcher when you see Yelich every night?
It's crazy. Like I said before, it just seems like he's on time with like everything. I mean, guy was coming in, I don't know, he was throwing like 100 or whatever it was, and it's just like it doesn't matter. You know, he's so locked in. I know he had not so productive, you know, a few games, and then he kind of come back out and got his swing back together, and then, you know, he just looks what he does, 3 home runs and hits another one tonight. So he's a special player. And he's a tough out.
They're trying to figure it out. Like, there's, you know, something going on with signs or whatever.
I don't know. It just seems like, I mean, they try to attack him a certain way, and he's still hitting the ball hard. Yeah. So, I mean, he's just locked in. I mean,
you almost can't blame him for asking that question and trying to figure something out.
Yeah, I don't want to go as far as saying any of that. But he's just, I mean, obviously he's a really good hitter. I mean, he's the MVP, and that's what he does. So.
How nice is that 5 spot, too, in the third? It's kind of calming, isn't it?
It was huge, yeah. You know, anytime it's still the same mindset. Every time you go out for each inning, you take it one pitch at a time and try to get ahead and attack. That huge 5 spot was – it's good to kind of settle in and then, you know, have a another fairly quick inning and put a zero up after that. That's huge for the team, and it kind of, you know, knocks the momentum out of them.
Freddie mentioned you guys are having kind of a competition at the plate. How much fun is it for the entire staff just get involved?
It's fun. You know, we take it in the cage when we hit and stuff. We take it pretty serious. A good competition. We usually play games with each other and stuff, and you know, try to see who can beat each other. And you know, hate to say, but Freddie hasn't won yet. So we got to get him, you know, some more wins. But he did get his first knock, you know, last night. So that's good.
Is there a pitcher's batting title? Like, what's on the line here?
You know, we haven't really talked about it. We might have to bring something up.
I mean, it's the serious thing that you guys are helping yourself. It feels like you can point in each game to something good.
It really is. It starts in spring training. I mean, we take it every day. There's bunting. There's situational hitting. I mean, it helps you out. Anytime you can get up there and try to produce it. I mean, kills the other side. You know, when a pitcher gets up there and gets a hit or draws a walk or something, it just starts snowballing and it's something we take serious, and it, you know, if anytime we can help ourselves out, it's big.
That's a good dude right there, Brandon Woodruff, as he gets the victory tonight in game 2 of this 3-game set. Talking about the hitting and the pitchers helping out their own cause, but also mentioning what it's like from his vantage point to watch Christian Yelich, and he used the term crazy. It's sort of crazy.
It's a good way to put it.
Running out of words to describe that, man, and they are too. Speaking of which, let's hear from Christian Yelich.
That nobody's ever seen before, a guy just up.
What do you mean? Like
that it's a pitcher you're not
familiar with? Yeah, I mean, he had really good stuff. I guess it was his debut. And, yeah, we didn't really have a whole lot of video on him or anything to go on. You kind of just had to feel it out. And I kind of got lucky. I got deep enough in the at-bat where I kind of saw some pitches and had a decent idea of what his stuff was like. But, yeah, he had great stuff. He did a good job after that. And, yeah, it's one of those things.
Are you surprised the Cardinals are continuing to pitch to you the way they are?
No. I mean, it's baseball. I mean, I got out 3 times today, too. Struck out twice. So, you know, it's just the game of baseball. You know, you got to be ready to go and just see how the game plays out.
Did you see the comment from Mike Schilt yesterday where he said maybe he's psychic?
No, a couple of people told me about it. But
yeah, it was just like he said today he's not trying to insinuate anything about signs or whatever. Like, they're looking at it, and I wondered if that's almost the greatest compliment a hitter can get when the other team starts thinking about, I wonder if we need to think about our size.
Yeah, I mean, it's just something across baseball where everyone's conscious of it. We're conscious of it. We didn't have the signs, but, I mean, no one's really going to care if I say we didn't have them. We didn't, and it's just about executing when you get a pitch to hit mistake. And, I don't take any offense to it or anything like that. It's the game of baseball. What are you going to do?
Who's more locked in at the plate, you or Woody right now?
Woody? I feel like the scoreboard is at, 870-something.
Right?
And, we sent him up as a pinch hitter yesterday. He got a hit, so... It's actually a big advantage when he can hit like that, because you saw it tonight. He came through with a 2 RBI double right there with a phenomenal slide in the second. And it's great. I mean, he really is another weapon up there, and it's fun to watch for sure.
Yeah, there's Christian Yelich after the ball game tonight, and that dude is just on a roll, as you all know.
Is that not the most Christian Yelich answer ever?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Hey, they got me out 3 times today.
Struck
too,
out
man.
Twice. I don't know what you guys are talking about. I kind of suck.
Yeah. Let's.
It's like the hot girl that's always asking for compliments. I know my hair looks ugly today.
Yeah.
Yeah. We know it does too. Sorry.
I didn't even give away a puppy, guys. Wasn't a great game.
Yeah. Yeah. That's amazing. And it is, like I said, we started out the show. Nick Bodie right there. We started out the show. Literally not having the words to describe Christian Yelich, and that's probably not a good trait when you're a sports broadcaster.
No, yeah, that's not what they pay us for. Hey, we do get paid for this show, right?
It's like saying, hey, Billy, what do you think of what Christian Yelich is doing now? And your answer is,
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. I really don't know. He's all right. He's good. He's amazing.
Yep. There you go. That took 2.5 seconds response. But, hey, they go after a sweep tomorrow. The Brewers on a nice little run here. It was good. I think the best thing about these couple of victories here is it sort of made up for the Angels sweep. Right?
No doubt it did. Yep.
You feel a
1,000%.
You feel so much better about that Angels sweep in the past 5 games. The Brewers have won 4 of them. They've fully recovered from that. But again, as Yelich just said, that's baseball too, man. That's going to happen. And Billy, I think you can agree, they'll get swept again this year by picking.
Yeah, no doubt. Yeah, they will get swept again this year. I can promise you that.
It could be the
I sure
Reds.
Hope they don't, but yeah, it could be the Pirates.
Could be.
Man, it could be the Padres.
We're going to get at it tomorrow. Postgame meets the Wendy's Big Show, and maybe the most different postgame meets the Big Show ever.
That's a good way to put it. Yeah, good way to put it.
After the last pitch, make the switch, baby. Shade and Blind Postgame Show presented by the Milwaukee Admirals. We are hashtag MillHockey. We'll meet you right here in the Hyundai of West Dallas Postgame Studios. Thanks to our crew at Miller Park tonight for Nick Bodie, Baby Tosh, Bill Schmid. My name is Tim Allen. Enjoy the victory. 12-6 after an 8-4 win. They go after the sweep tomorrow. And smile, Milwaukee. The world will smile back.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.